Last week we talked about the cities of refuge, and we discussed how the law in Exodus 21 said that if someone kills someone, that they need to be put the first they need to be put out of the altar, to be taken away from the altar and to be put to death. That's what the law said. But we know that what Jesus said on the cross in Luke 23:34, it says, "The Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." And the city of refuge, back at that time, if someone killed someone by mistake, if someone committed this murder in an accident, they run to the city of refuge. And as long as they are at the city of refuge, they are safe. And we know that Jesus is our city of refuge. As we shared last week, many times, that it's the gospel. It's the gospel. It's the good news. You run to it knowing that you messed up. You run to it knowing that you failed. And then as long as you are staying there, you are safe. The key word here is that you stay there and you are safe. And we looked at how the cities of refuge, most of them were in high places. Most of them, all the roads to the city of refuge were prepared and plowed and ready so it can be easy. There are signs that says refuge, refuge, that you can go to it. And they were strategically placed for everyone to be close to them. And that's the gospel. The gospel is loud. The gospel is being preached. The name of God is being preached wherever we go. God makes himself known everywhere we go. There are signs, there are words, there are songs, there are messages, there are stickers on cars. They are everywhere, things that are leading us to God if we open our eyes. And then we looked at the names of the cities of refuge. The first one is Kadesh, and that it means, or simply, a symbol of holiness and sanctuary found in God. The first thing that the sinner needs when they run to the gospel, they need holiness, because we have been buried by sin. We have been infected by sin for so long. The first thing that we need God's holiness to cover us. And then Hebron means intimacy with God. And that signifies that our relationship with God, our closeness with God, after we were far away, after we were his enemies, after we were not following him, now Hebron means that we have intimacy with God. Shekim means protection. You know, in the shield, in God's arms, in God's family, we find our protection. And we find our protection from the most vicious enemy that can face us, Satan, the world and the flesh, and even death. And then we go from Shekim. There's another one close by. It's called Bizar. And Bizar means that he is the shield and strong tower. Shield and strong tower. And that's something that we all need. We need God's protection. We need God's protection from the arrows that are coming against us. We need God's protection from the thoughts. We need God's protection from every war or every warfare that's coming against us. And then we have Ramoth, and Ramoth means God is high and lifted up. And this is the place that where we can praise, even knowing that we messed up. But we say with Job what he said: even though I messed up, even though I have did crooked things or wicked things, that he pulled my soul, or he pulled my life from the pit, and now I can
Hallelujah.
sing. I can see the light and I can sing. This is the song that Job was saying, that I look at myself and I see that I messed up. I look at myself and I see that I sinned, but I also now look at him and I see that he redeemed me from the pit. I see the light and now I can sing for him. This is another city of refuge that you and I can enjoy. And then finally, we know that Golan means that he is our joy and salvation anywhere and everywhere. And that's the song also of every believer that knows that even in this world, while you and I are very much an exile, like this is not where we are. That's not our address. Okay. This is our just stop. until we get to our final destination. But even in our stop, we will rejoice because God is our joy and salvation. These cities of refuge are provided for every single one who believes, for every single one who runs to them, for everyone who stays with them. The idea is to stay, to run to it. You know, when we were doing our recap last week after the meeting, and I told Dina, doesn't that remind you of the story of the prodigal son? He runs to his father, okay? The father runs to him, okay? He thought his life ended. He thought his life as a son ended, you know? He thought his wealth is over. Then the father comes and covers him with his holiness, covers him with the first robe, gives him the authority back, the ring of authority back, throws a big party for him, and welcomes him back as a son. He's coming home in hunger. He's coming home in fear. He's coming home in losses after losses and all of that. And then he comes home to partying, to holiness, to authority, to being a son again. He is coming to things that he's never imagined or expected. This is your story, and this is my story. Everything you live in today, everything I live in today, is because we ran to the Father. We ran to the Father who's been calling us, who's been pursuing us, who's been approaching us. We ran to him, and he took us and became the city of refuge, providing all of this all at once, you know, and that's the beauty of our God. That's why we can't stop talking about his love. You know, a lot of people around us are so desperate for love, so desperate for protection, so desperate for recognition, so desperate for so many things. We just gotta let them know that there is a city of refuge. We gotta let them know there's safety. We got to let them know that there is joy. We got to let them know that there is authority. We got to let them know that everything they're looking for is found in God. May God give us that grace. May God give us that wisdom and boldness to share with people the good news that we have. Today, we'll start with chapter 21, and we'll share about the Levites a little bit and their cities.
So in chapter 21, we see the final allocation here happening to the Levites. And just read a couple of verses here starting with verse 1. It says, "Now the family heads of the Levites approached Eleazar the priest, Joshua son of Nun, and the heads of the other tribes of Israel at Shiloh in Canaan, and said to them, 'The Lord commanded through Moses that you give us towns to live in with pasture lands for our livestock.' So as the Lord commanded, the Israelites gave the Levites the following towns and pasture lands out of their own inheritance." So just as a reminder that the role of Levites in their society, the role of Levites, unlike the other tribes, they didn't receive specific territory. Instead, they were given sort of, and we'll read this throughout chapter 21, that they were given cities that were scattered among the other tribes. And this arrangement was sort of a direct fulfillment of something that God had. The Levites were set apart for service to God and to his people. Their inheritance was God himself. In Joshua 13:33, if you recall, we talked about that Joshua said to the Levites, your inheritance is God himself. And it's reflected in this like unique role. And we're going to talk about it, how it's so very unique throughout this passage. But how do we relate to the Levites? How is this applied to our life today? Well, there are a couple of things. Remember, we always talk about this, that in God's word, there's sort of like the reality of the situation, and there's how that reality applies to our life today, okay? The reality of the situation where these were the priests, the ministers. They're the people that brought the word of God to the people of God. Okay, so that's the reality of the situation. We see those priests and ministers today, people that are in full-time ministry, people that are have dedicated and devoted their lives to the work of the ministry. So there are some things that we can learn about that piece, the reality piece. Now there's the application piece. How does the role of Levites apply to you and I today? Well, we can start by looking in 1 Peter 2:29, where you and I, believers, are called a royal priesthood. It's one of my favorite verses, but it's also a very brazen verse, because imagine that in this time where Jewish priests were regarded, remember the Jewish priests, the rabbis of the time, were everything. They were the beginning and the end. They were your route to knowing God. So when in scripture you and I are being referred to as a royal priesthood, it's kind of just unheard of, right? It's kind of something really beyond what the people of the time could understand. But God calls us a royal priesthood. So in other words, he's giving you and I the work of service to the Lord and service to his people. You and I are meant to, as believers, to walk and serve in the way that these Levites served the people. So as we're learning today, as we're learning about the Levites, remember that we are a royal priesthood, you and I. And so that means that this word applies to us today. As God sends us out to his people, he has a very specific calling for us in that.
And so the first verse right away, as Dina just mentioned, so that now the family heads of the Levites approach Eleazar the priest, Joshua the son of Nun. And what tribe was Eleazar the priest? What tribe is he from? A
The
Levite,
Levite.
you know, so he is a Levite. So they're approaching Joshua and they're approaching one of them. So I have a few things that we need to discuss. And maybe God can help us to apply it to our own lives on how to deal with each other and also how to deal with our authorities in the church, you know, in terms of pastoral authorities and others. So the first thing is that we have this misconception about servants of the Lord that they should be completely disconnected from this world. You know, see, you and I, all of us, are called to not to be of this world. However, we're called to live in this world and to serve in this world and to minister to this world and to participate in this world without being of this world. It's completely different. So my heart, while I'm here serving, because God gave me that day, God gave me today to serve, God gave me today to bless, gave me today to learn and to teach and to do all the things that God has given me. I am not really from this world. I know that this is not my final destination. I know that I'm from somewhere else, but while God has me here, he has me here for a purpose, right? So the Levites are going and saying, hey, just like everyone came to Shiloh, and remember what Shiloh was? It's the place that represents the presence of God. This is where the Ark of the Covenant was. This is where they did all their, you know, big and important decisions. The heads of the tribe of Levi come to the same place that the tribe of Judah went to, the tribe of Dan went to, the same place that everyone goes to, where the presence of God is. The Levites go to the same place too. They go before Joshua. They go before the elders. They go before the Eleazar, the priest. They go to the same exact place where they go. This is to open up your eyes that our pastor, other pastors, and you and I are called, if we are ministers of the gospels, if we are serving the Lord, it doesn't mean because I have, you know, I taught a couple of Bible studies or I preached a couple of Sundays, That means I'm in a different place than everyone else. Absolutely not. I need to come to Shiloh. I need to come before Jesus. I need to come before our Joshua. I need to say, Lord, what do you have for me today? I know you have inheritance for me. I know you commanded something for me, and I need it today, and I want it today. Right? So we have this again, misconception that people who are in spiritual authority or people who are in the ministry are in a different place than the rest of us. No, everyone needs to go to Shiloh. Everyone needs to go to the presence of God. Everyone needs to go before Jesus and ask him for what he has for him. So that's the first thing. The second thing is, while they approached Joshua, they took the initiative just like everyone else. They took the initiative and said, you know, Moses said, God said, Moses said that we are to receive these places. So they reminded Joshua and Eleazar of God's promises. So what they're coming with today is the same thing that you and I came with. It's the same thing that all the tribes went to Joshua and Eleazar with, which is the promises of God, the grace of God. You know, so here's another thing that we all participate on, that we all depend on the grace of God. We all need the grace of God. We all receive the word from God, and we're all coming back to ask God for the word that he has given us. Is that clear so far?
Yes.
Awesome. Okay. They approach Joshua, and here's the thing. They're not coming, even though they know, listen, pay attention to this. Even though they know very well that they don't have inheritance, they're not going to possess a land or an area like the other one, but they're coming here to ask for inheritance, not to take, but to give. Because the presence of a Levite, wherever they go, it means they take with them the presence of God. See, that's the difference between someone who's going to take something for himself and someone who's going to take something for God to bring God's presence into this place. This is a complete, when I read that today and God opened my eyes to it, I was like, whoa, this is completely different. This is completely different. So when I go to work tomorrow and I sign up a new client, that new client is not just to bring money to the business. That new client is for me to bring him or her the presence of God. When I move into a new block, that's not just for me to enjoy the weather or a new home or a new car smell. No, that's to bring the presence of God into this home, into this car, into this job, into this coffee shop, into this restaurant. I need to bring God's presence into this place. You know, when we go to co we like coffee. That's our thing, you know. So Saturday morning is our date night. Don't ask me how, but Saturday morning is our date night. And we just made a lot of
Because we're too tired to go
we're
out Saturday night.
Friday night. I'm like, you know, you can't go anywhere. You know, when you go to sleep at 7 p.m., it's so anyway, one of the things we look at is that how we treat people. Because I'm not coming to get the coffee from you. I'm coming to give you a kind word. I'm coming to give you something that you haven't experienced before. I'm coming to give you that thank you that Jesus would give. I'm coming to give you that smile that Jesus would smile and just give you an encouraging word and say something to you. You come and you turn everything you have, everything you take, everything you get into a giving opportunity. So the Levites are coming to Joshua and to Eleazar to take their places, not to possess them for them, but to bring the glory of God so they can be a blessing wherever they go. And we're going to see all the cities. We're not going to go all through all the names of the cities and all of that, but we're going to go see that every place they went to, just like we had the cities of refuge strategically placed everywhere, we're going to see the Levites, also the cities that they inherited, are strategically placed everywhere so that every tribe, every place, every few families, they know that a Levite lives there. They know that a blessing is in that place. They know that they where they go for teaching or for help or for whatever they need. So when a Levite, the Levite comes to take, when a servant of God comes to take, there's nothing wrong with that. But the attitude is different. I'm coming to take to give. I'm coming to take, not for me, but so God can be in this place through me. You know. So that's another thing. They know that they have a mission, and the mission is to teach, is to rebuke, is to help, is to heal, is to shine the light on God's word. God told them they won't have an inheritance. Well, you can deal with that one of two things. You can choose God as your inheritance and experience something that nothing in this world can give you. Or you can say, well, that's not fair. And God is not good. God is unjust, you know. But years and years after, we one of them, one of the tribe of Judah comes up and he says that I've had everything. I have had everything. I didn't have an entertainment system. I had entertainers. He had not just one or two gardens. He had thousands of gardens. He had everything that anyone can not even imagine. But he said it's all vain. None of that helps. None of that helps, because at the end of the day, my heart can only be filled and fulfilled by God. No matter how much distraction you can have in this world, it's not going to help. So we can look at the things we don't have and say, well, I have God. And if I have God, I have everything. And if I don't have God and I have everything, I absolutely have nothing. Absolutely have nothing. So we see here that their attitude was amazing. You know, that doesn't mean anything that I didn't get the portion that, you know, the tribe of Judah or the tribe of this or that took. It doesn't matter. I have God. I have God. And whatever God gives me, it's not even going to be for me. It's going to go back to Him. The Levites were the first to cross the Jordan. They were the first to touch ground. And right now we see them as the last to receive their cities. What kind of humility is this? See, that's the true servant of the Lord. You know, they know they were the first to put their foot on this land. They know that they had the priests of the Levites had to go down to the Jordan while the Jordan was still running, and they had to put their feet in order for everyone to go by. And they did not leave until every single person of the Israelites got into the other side. Yet they're still not asking for much. You know, may God teach us and help us to learn this attitude of humility, that even if God is using me in a mighty way, even if God is using me in things that were never done before, it doesn't mean I am entitled to receive first. I'm entitled to be served. I'm entitled for this or that. Absolutely not. You know, not saying this to glorify any human beings or anyone like that or anything like that. God knows my heart. But we have a great example in our pastors, in Pastor Al and Delia, who sacrifices after sacrifices, who are giving after giving, who never wanted to be first, but always took the last place. You know, we see these things. I see these things. And I love their preaching. I love their teaching. I love their life. But more importantly, I love the way they carry themselves. It's something for me to learn from, you know. And for every servant of the Lord, for all of us, we're called to do the same exact thing. You could be the one that's preaching on Sunday. You could be that priest that stood in the river. You could be that person that's standing in the gap. You could be that prayer warrior. You could be this and you could be that. That's wonderful. That's a privilege that God is giving you. That doesn't mean you're going to take first. That means you're going to take last. That's what the Levites just did here. You know, they were humble. They accepted what God has given them, even though they knew that they had it, but they were waiting for everyone to settle, waiting for everyone to take theirs. You know, that beautiful night that still doesn't make sense to me, doesn't make sense to anyone. You know, after a very long day, after Jesus is preaching and performing miracles after miracles after miracles, him and the disciples, they go to a place to rest, and everyone is exhausted. Everyone is so tired. Then Jesus gets up and starts washing everyone's feet. You, Jesus, you just healed hundreds and thousands of people. You just taught things that were never taught before. You just performed miracles that had never been seen before. And you still get up and you put a towel and you start washing people's feet. He was a picture of a Levite. He was the one that was serving. He knew he was here to serve, not to be served. And then we see here that it was broken into four families. The family of Aaron, and the family of Aaron took 13 cities, and the family of Kohath, and they took 10 cities, and the family of Gershon, they took 13 cities, and finally the family of Merari. That has two R's right back to back. Your boy is doomed.
They get it. They
Yeah,
get
you
it.
just read the thing. They took how many cities?
Wow.
12 cities? Wow. Okay. For the name alone, they should take one or two. But anyway, they took 12 cities. In total, they took 48 cities. Aaron, the family of Aaron, we know that this is the family of priesthood. This is where the priests came from. The family of Kohath, these are the people that were responsible for caring for the sanctuary's objects, including the Ark of the Covenant. Okay. And the family of Gershon, these are the families that were responsible for carrying heavy things. They were carrying the curtains, they were carrying for the tent, the tabernacle. And the family of Merari also were carrying heavy things like the base of the tent and all of these things. Every part of the Levites, we had the priests, we had the servants, we had the people that were carrying things, we had the people that were arranging things, we had people that were responsible for just the order of the tent and all of that. They were working all together in harmony, you know, not one less and not one more. Just like your body is working right now together, your hands and your feet and your hair and your eyes and your everything is working together. The body of Christ that is serving, they're all working in harmony. While the lips and the tongue are saying the words, it doesn't mean that the eyes don't have, a job, or the hands don't have a job, or the feet don't have a job. Every part of this body has a job. You know, and the Levites, even though they were broken into four families, everyone was doing their job with gladness and in unity and in harmony, doing the job together.
Isn't it amazing? Here we are talking about the Jordan River and the Levites' role in Jordan River. We're in chapter 21 and we're coming sort of full circle. And as Asam was saying that, I just had the image of the Levites going into the Jordan, holding that Ark of the Covenant until every last person had left. And they're doing the same thing through the allotment of land. They watched every single tribe receive the allotment of land. They're making sure that God's fulfilling promises happening all around them first before they even consider themselves. And again, You and I are called to be this royal priesthood. What a huge weighted responsibility this is. It is, it's a big responsibility, and it does require a lot of humility. And honestly, when I read this, when I hear this, I think, oh Lord, make it, help me be more humble, because I don't know that that's, I'm usually eager to, you know, get things while we have to get them, while they're available. If there was property being passed out, I guarantee you I would be tense about the property being passed out. I'd want to make sure that, you know, our family was taken care of. And here they are, just with so much humility. Let's look at the types. There were two types of land that the Levites received, beginning from verse 13 to verse 38. The first, remember, they wanted pasture lands. So they wanted lands where their livestock could eat and grow and have a sustainability. Okay. The Levites, this was identified back when Moses was there. And so they were just reminding, you know, this group, don't forget, this is what we need. And what that signifies to us and reminds us is that God cares for our physical needs. It matters to the Lord that our physical needs are taken care of. You know, in Matthew 6:11, we're reminded to pray for our daily bread. This is not something unusual, because we are human beings, we're human vessels, and there's a need that needs to be fulfilled while we're here on this earth. And part of that are physical needs that need to be taken care of. So the pasture lands were there, and that's what they signified. But the other types of land that were given to the Levites, or places that they were given, were what? The cities of refuge. If you go down, you read every single one of them, the cities of refuge were where the Levites were going to do a majority of their work. Doesn't that make perfect sense? It's the place of the gospel, and it's the place where people are coming in need and receiving refuge, receiving salvation, receiving what they need in order to be alive, to have life. And that is what God is calling you and I to do, to be a city of refuge. That should be the cry of our heart. Lord, help us to be the city of refuge that brings your gospel and brings your word to those around us. Asam and I, when we first got married years ago, someone spoke that over us, over, I can't remember who it was, but like someone came into our house and prayed a prayer that our home, within the first like 2 or 3 months that we were married, that our home would be a city of refuge. That has been something we've prayed for 21 years. Lord, let our home be a city of refuge, but not just our actual home, the building, but us. Let Amen. Us be those who bring and give the city of refuge to others. It was such a beautiful thing that the priests got the cities of refuge. That's where they were going to go. That's where they were being instructed, where they were called to service. You know, it's like when soldiers are given a call to service, we are given a call to service in the cities of refuge. It's also incredible how they were distributed among the tribes. Not one tribe was without a Levite in their presence. As Assam alluded to this before, but this is a call for us to live in community, and not just in community, not just being in the world, that's critical too, but being in community with other believers, that it's so important. It's such an important element that we not seclude ourselves, that we not keep ourselves from living among the community of believers, that we would have a healthy roles and contributions, that we would know what it is to grow and to give and to be a salt and a light to one another.
And see, they took the cities, right? 48. And what did they do with six of them? They gave it right back. Not just giving it back, they given it back, becoming the cities of refuge. Mm-hmm. This is amazing here, because every time God blesses me with something and I choose to give it back to God, this could be the city of refuge for someone. This could be the gospel for someone. This could be the salvation for someone. This is exactly what's happening. It's exactly what I was talking about earlier. When they went to Joshua and Eleazar to take their portion, they took to give. They took to bless, not took to possess. A lot of people take to possess, they took to bless. And there is a big difference here. And what they gave became the cities of refuge for so many people. So many lives were saved. So many people were protected. So many people got freedom back. So many people received the same thing that we were talking about earlier, the joy and the protection and the authority and everything, because the Levites gave the cities of refuge.
Amen.
You and I are called and can do this as well. We finished that chapter in verse 43 and 44, 45. It says, "So the Lord gave Israel all the land he had sworn to give their ancestors, and they took possessions of it and settled there. The Lord gave them rest from every side, just as he sworn to their ancestors. Not one of their enemies withstood them. That Lord gave them all the give all their enemies into their hands. Not one of the Lord's good promises to Israel failed. Every one was fulfilled." I'm going to read that again. "Not one of the Lord's good promises to Israel failed. Every one was fulfilled." The first thing is that it's a reminder that this land, this promises, they're a gift from God.
Amen.
Just in case we forget, it was a gift from God. God goes to the Israelites while they were still slaves in Egypt, while they're under bondage, while they're under heavy, heavy bondage, tells them, "I'm going to take you out and I'm going to give you and I'm going to take you in, and I'm going to give you." So just a reminder that it's not about what you did or what I did. It's about what God is giving. It's about his absolute grace, which gives us something we don't deserve. That's what grace is. Okay? So please don't look on yourself today and say, "Well, Pastor Albert deserves this. Pastor Edwin deserves this, but I don't deserve it." That's not true. It's a gift from God. Grace is a gift from God. Then going into the promised land, you and I taking the promises and living the abundant life is a gift from God. It says it here. The Lord gave Israel all the land he has sworn to their ancestors. It's a promise from God that he wants to give you an abundant life. Okay, so take it. It's yours. He had sworn to their ancestors. While this generation that went into the promised land didn't hear the promises, someone else heard it, but they believed it, they took it, and the Lord took them there. Okay? So I want you to hear that promise too today. I want you to take that promise to you, to yourself, to your family, to your children, to proclaim it over your health, over your job, over your spiritual life mainly, and more importantly, that God spoke these words and he can see it in your life. It can come through in your life. But not only that, we see here that they finally took possessions. Remember a few chapters back when Joshua went to the Israelites and goes, "Until when you're not going to possess the land? We're here, but you have not possessed the land. Until when you're not going to possess your promises? If God promised you holiness, it's yours. If God promised ministry and using you and even health, yes, it's yours. Claim it." So they possessed the land. Not only that, but they settled in
That's
it. That
good.
means I'm not possessing this and I'm giving it away. No, I am possessing it and it's mine now. I'm settling here. I'm settling here. The last time we moved was what, 4 years ago? Exactly 4 years ago. We moved after we bought the house. We did all of that. And then it didn't feel like our house. Even though on the title and everything, it was our house. But then when we moved in, when we put our beds and couches, our kitchen, we started eating, then we started feeling settled, because now we live here. I go to work, I come from work, I don't go to Ramsgate anymore. I come here. I sit here. We eat here, we sleep here, we shower here, we host people here. It's our place. God's heart is for you to make the kingdom, or for you and me to make your kingdom your settlement, or our settlement place. This is the place where we settle, in the presence of God. I'm not just visiting here. No, I live here. No, but I possess it, and then I settle in it. I live here. This is my dwelling place. And then it gives us this: the Lord gave them rest from every side. Those who fought hard, those who were in the wilderness, now, after fighting for about 7 years, they get the rest. We talked about this many times before. The most amazing rest you can have is the rest that comes from God after hard-fought battles. The worst rest that you can give yourself is the one that you give yourself, not God gives you. When it's time to go to war, it's time to go to war. When it's time to work, it's time to work. And when it's time to rest, God will give you the rest. And look at this. It says, not one of their enemies withstood them. When David took rest, he was supposed to be out there fighting, right? Okay, but he didn't go to fighting. He didn't go to war. He was like, I'm gonna sit home. I'm gonna rest. There are guards outside. There are soldiers everywhere. I'm in a safe place. He didn't know that there was an enemy that he wasn't counting on. There was an enemy called the flesh. There's an enemy called the devil that makes things make sense that don't make sense. And David fell into the worst battle he's ever faced, because he took rest when he was not supposed to take rest. But now God is giving the Israelites the rest they deserve, because enemies cannot withstood them. He delivered them from their enemies, and no promise failed. Every promise was fulfilled. I pray this over you and over me to me, over myself today, that not one of all the Lord's good promises to Israel failed. Everyone was fulfilled. Everyone was fulfilled. I pray that this would be your story. I pray that this would be my story today.
No.
There is so much richness in God's word, but there is more richness in His heart. His heart is full for us if we just come close and tap into it, if we just humble ourselves and seek Him first and His kingdom, and everything else will be added into us. That's what the Levites did. They were seeking God's kingdom first, and everything else was added to them. Sorry, we went a few minutes late today, but now we open it for discussion, comments, questions, anything on your mind.
You know, one thing that comes out of this city of refuge and to possess the land, my mind went back years back when God took us to this journey without knowing. No, so we were kind of instruments of that journey when we built the other church. We went to possess the land, pray for the land. We went to meetings for the land. We fight for that, for the construction. But we were not, in myself, I talked to myself, I was not like into the related to the things, But now that I see, I look back, I say, wow, God uses somewhere, somehow, and without compromise anything, we give it all that we have. So I because sometimes I say, oh, I'm not doing anything for God at this time. You know, I'm not serving him like supposed to serve him. And then now it's God is remembering me. He says, you did it. You did something for me before.
Yeah.
So he could use us for something else. So now I'm thinking, say, hey, he's preparing us for something else, going through this journey that is different. I don't know what's going to be in the future, but he knows. So we are just instruments of him. And we were so obedient and so dedicated and give it what we have. So now we have kind of a remembrance that says, hey, God was there. God gave us enough, more than enough, complete it and keep going in our lives. So it's a reminder that always God is in control of our lives. Like he knows what we need. He knows where we are taking us. And we just have to be obedient and disciplined.
Good.
And so, yeah, it's a blessing, this lesson right now, because it brings remembering, and it makes us feel like, hey, I'm still working for that kingdom, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's a nice thing that happened, that the city of refuge and working for the
Good.
kingdom and possessing the land and fighting for the land and doing everything. So, yeah, thank you for that.
Of course.
Amen.
You know, one cup of water, I don't know the exact words, but one cup of water can make a difference. There's a verse actually that says that a cold cup of water that could, anything we do for God is going to make a difference. Anything that we take and give back to God makes a difference. It just sometimes we look at what we have, like they looked at the small meal that they have and they're like, what is this to everyone? What is this gonna do to everyone? But because it was given to Jesus, Jesus can take whatever it is we have and multiply it. You know, they were giving cities. Those cities turned into life-saving for so many people. And it's something that here we are talking about it hundreds of years, thousands of years after, here we are talking about it. Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. So now God is using that for other people. Oh man, that's nice. Yeah.
Yep.
Nice. Yeah.
Amen. Anyone else?
So I really like how you tied in First Peter, that we're a royal priesthood, and Shiloh being in the presence of God, and the land that the Levites received was the pasture land, and it was also the land of refuge, the cities of refuge. And I think there's a connection there between the Shiloh portion being the presence of God and them receiving the nourishment that they needed. Because I think that there's a spiritual element to it, of course,
Sure.
because you can't become a city of refuge unless you are nourished yourself. In other words,
Good.
you can't give what you don't have. And so God made sure, or the passage here is making clear, that they had the place where they were taken care of, their animals were taken care of, they were productive, so they can be full, so they can give. And so I just, the balance there is just
Amazing. It's very good.
really, 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 really good. Yeah.
Yeah.
You're muted.
Pastor Edwin, you're muted if you're
Sorry.
She muted him.
she muted you.
She's like, go ahead and say this, and she's
Don't share.
It's just a question. Where in the Bible is the verse of the book which says that we are kings and priests? I can't remember. I know that is
Revelation 1.
Revelation, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So how that related to us, that we are kings and priests? Because that's the question. I don't know.
What is the question?
How is that related to us?
That we're kings and
we're kings and priests.
Well, oh. Remember, I mean, if I, Pastor Al, I'm sure you
no,
can
please, please.
Take this, but it's related to our spiritual inheritance in Christ. And as we are sons and daughters of a King of Kings, a Lord of Lords, that's how I believe this is connected. We are children of a great and mighty God. It makes us that royal priesthood, those kings and priests. Pastor Al, I'm sure you have more.
Very well said.
Amen.
But Jesus was also our high priest.
Yes.
And since we belong to him, we also serve as priests. That's why he says here, you're a royal priesthood.
Yes.
You're a holy nation. So the two work together.
Right.
Because Jesus was both king and priest.
Exactly. Yeah.
Or he is king and priest, I should say. Not was. He is.
Yep. It was in Revelation. What
Revelation 1:6.
1:6.
Yeah, but I would read from 4 because in verse 5 it tells us, you know, it gives an introduction into this verse. It gives an introduction about Jesus and what he has made us.
Yep. I have to remember that. I have to go back and read it again. Yeah. We went out with Pastor Al a long time ago. It's a long time.
The entire book of Revelation, didn't we?
Yes. Yeah. That's why I remember the kings and
heads. Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah, this is how I know that, you know, it's cool how Psalm you said give you rest, you know, because every day and during the week, during the months, and, you know, the world just throws you, you know, curveballs, and you know, you have things with family, friends, and work, and then you go through those, you know, those things in your life. But this is how I know in my heart that God is there and he's real, is because when I feel like I need a rest, he gives me that rest. And I don't have any doubt. I don't have to worry. You know, I sleep good. And I just thank him for giving me that. And it clears my mind when he feels like I need rest. He clears my mind, you know, because even though you're resting, but you know, you're still thinking about tomorrow or thinking about this person or this thing you have to accomplish, but your mind does need rest, and that's what God gives me, and that's why I feel good the next day for my family, my friends, and that's just how people can look at me and say, you know, who gives you that stability? Who gives you that safety? And I could say right back to him and say, God gave me that, nothing else but him. That's cool to me. That's awesome that he does that for me. Yeah.
Thanks for sharing. Okay, right on time, 8 o'clock. Let's pray as we close out. Lord, we thank you so much for your word. Lord, we thank you that you've called us to be a royal priesthood, Lord, a holy nation. Lord, we thank you so much for this word, for showing us what it is to live as the Levites lived. Lord, help us to be fed and be a city of refuge, Lord, to others, Lord. We thank you for this time. I pray for everybody on this call and everybody listening afterwards that your mighty hand would touch them in exactly the way they need to be touched, in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. It's great to see you guys.